One step into the light, one step away from night. It's the hardest step you're gonna take. The ship to take you there is waiting at the head of the stairs that lead up through your open mind.
And welcome once again. This is Raylan Allen. I'm the publisher of Rumor Mill News, and you are listening to RumorMillNewsRadio.com. And we are just about to take one step into the light with Gary Larrabee, who hosts a website called the International Branch of the Lion of Judah. Welcome, Gary.
Good morning, Ray, it's a real honor for me to be on your program, and I want to thank you for it. I appreciate the opportunity to just express my thoughts.
Well, thank you so much. Let me give out your webpage. It's vinesbranch.com. Vines, V as in Victor, I-N-E-S, B-R-A-N-C-H.com. So readers can go there and see what an amazing amount of information that you have on that webpage.
Well, thank you very much.
I just want to tell people how I found you. You didn't find me. I found you. And I have been fascinated by the Lion of Judah because Haile Selassie is the Lion of Judah. And I know that lions have some sort of significance more than what most people know. And I don't know whether it's a biblical significance or if it's a royal bloodline significance or if it's of the bloodline of Jesus significance or what. I still haven't figured that out yet. But I am searching. And the reason that I got on this search for lions is because my husband Gunther, his title in Austria is the Lion of Salzburg. And one day he said, he was talking about Haile Selassie, and he was saying that that his group, this mysterious faction too that I talk about all the time, was connected to the Rastafarians, to the Lion of Judah. Ras meaning Duke, Tafari, which was Haile Selassie's name. And so I've been on a search to find the lions in the world, to find who these lions are. And so I'm out there on the internet searching and searching and searching for lions. And I put in Lion of Judah, and suddenly I found your webpage. And so I started reading it and started reading it. Couldn't find anything that I disagreed with. I thought it was just wonderful. And then suddenly I came across an article from Rumor Mill News on your website. And I said, oh, he reads Rumor Mill News. I think I'll email him. So you and I started emailing, and it was very shortly after that that I invited you to join us on Rumor Mill News, and you've done that, and your posts are some of the most popular that we have on Rumor Mill News.
Well, it's been a great honor for me to be involved with Rumor Mill News, and I'll tell you that is the best source of alternative news that I have found on the internet, and I would encourage everybody to keep track of it. I check it every, you know, 2 or 3 hours every day.
Well, one of the things about Rumor Mill News is we have 150 agents from all around the world. These are people that I pick, not because I agree with them completely, but because I know in their hearts they are trying the best they possibly can to find the truth about what is going on in the world today. And so we've got people who come from, you know, the entire spectrum, from liberal to conservative, and this is all around the world. And the one thing about Rumor Mill, we are not driven from the top down. We are all equals. When I post on there, I'm just another one of the writers. There's no agenda at Rumor Mill. Our only agenda is to preserve the country we all love and to try as hard as we can to find the truth. And even, I was just going to say, even our writers in other countries, what they're trying to do is to preserve the sovereignty of their nations.
Right. Well, the articles that I enjoy the most, Ray, are the ones that you tell about your personal experiences and Gunther's personal experiences. And I enjoy all of them, but those are the ones that really stick out to me.
Well, I have to admit that my life in, you know, thank God I'm older now. And I'm out of those times that I literally felt I was living a James Bond movie. Actually more like a Rambo movie. Because James Bond, you know, always had on the tuxedo and was, you know, drinking martinis. No, the type of life I lived with Gunther, you know, half of it was spent in safe houses, sleeping on the floor, you know, just to keep the people from killing me. You know, the people that hated Gunther, mainly the Bush, the first administration, and the people who were all tied up in the October surprise that did not want the truth to ever come out. And so, yeah, one of these days, hopefully, I'll be able to really tell the full story. As much as I have told, Gary, I have not even told one-tenth of what our government put Gunther and I through during the years that we were married.
Are you writing a book?
No, I've never had time. What happened is I threw myself into other things so that I would not feel the pain anymore. And so I, you know, as soon as what happened, I know you know, but our listeners don't know, is Gunther and I were scheduled at a huge conference in Florida to expose the government's mind control. And, of course, up until the time that Gunther wrote his article on Operation Clear Eyes and how the government uses mind control to program sleeper assassins, the only thing most people thought the government used mind control for was to create drug mules and sex slaves. Well, Gunther told me that the whole sex slaves was just the cover. It was a true story, but it was like the umbrella cover for the mind control that went on here in this country, because they had the girls programmed in such a way that if ever it went before the Senate, the girls could be so easily discredited that nobody would ever think anything of mind control. And then he came out talking about how the special operations operatives are mind controlled, and he laid out the steps, the five levels of how it happens. And I published this in the print edition of Rumor Mill News back in, oh, I think that was in November of 1996. And then in January, he and I were scheduled to give this huge seminar. Well, about a week before the seminar, he disappears. And I have no idea where he is. I have no idea whether he's dead or alive. And I was so angry at the government because I knew that they had done this to him. Whatever it was they had done to him, they did it. So I went through with the conference and I gave as much information as I knew. And he shows up shortly after the conference with no memory of ever having been married to me. And he died in 2005. Without ever remembering what he and I had gone through for all of those years. And so immediately after that, I threw myself into teaching and caring for my mother, who had had a stroke and was quite ill, and doing Rumor Mill. So ever since 1997, I have been so busy that I honestly have not had the time to write my story. Maybe one of these days I'll tell it. I'll start telling it on the radio, because it's a lot easier to tell the story than it is to write it. But the thing that I was so moved about you, Gary, you are one of these people who literally lost everything and then found God. And is that, I should say found your mission. Is that about the way you see it?
Right. My my spiritual growth has come at, always in a crisis situation. And when you get down to where you have no place to go, and sometimes you almost want to commit suicide, then I think that you have I think you can see God almost face to face, and because you need Him so bad. And so that's when God started doing some supernatural things in my life, that, you know, I had to say, hey, is this you, God? And you know, God started speaking to me, first of all, through His Word, through the Bible. I'd be thinking of a question, and I'd say, God, please answer this for me. I'd open up the Bible, and there would be the answer, the first sentence that I would put my eyes upon. And
I have to admit, I have done the very same thing.
Right.
And it works.
Yeah, it sure does. It sure does. Now, you know, some people say, well, this is playing Russian roulette with the Bible. Well, not if your faith is there. You know, it's dependent on your faith. If you think it's Russian roulette, that's what it's going to be. But if you think God's speaking to you and you really believe it, God's going to speak to you.
I agree with that completely. I just have to tell a little story. Many, many years ago, almost 30 years ago now, I was running myself ragged at both ends, working at a publishing company, running their catalog division for small books, small publishing companies. And I came down with bronchitis and then pneumonia and then spinal meningitis, viral meningitis. And there was no cure for viral meningitis at the time. And so the doctor told my husband to take me home. I was either going to die or get well. I am in bed. I am in such pain in my head and neck that I can't even move my head. I am in bed staring at the ceiling. And I'm just furious with God, saying, how come you're doing this to me? I am doing so much work in your behalf. How can you be doing this to me? And then he said to me, I literally heard his voice. He said, you know, Ray, you're fighting me every step of the way. And I said, well, that's because I will not surrender to anybody. And then I heard a voice that says, to surrender, you must first have an adversary. I'm not your adversary. I'm not fighting you. And I said, oh, you know, that's true. One army surrenders to another army. I've been looking at the word surrender wrong. And then God said, all you really have to do is just give up the fight. Give up the fight. And I said, oh, I like that. I'm not going to fight you anymore. And well, needless to say, it still took me a long time to get well. But within a very short period of time, I was baptized by an archbishop. I was 35 years old, had never been baptized. I was baptized by an archbishop who said that when he baptized me, God touched him and said I needed to become a priest in his church, and that is exactly what I did.
Praise the Lord. The Lord speaks in many mysterious ways, and from your testimony, that was definitely God, in my opinion.
Well, I sure feel it was. I mean, I look at my life, and sometimes I feel like I'm a tennis ball that gets batted from here to kingdom come.
Right.
But I truly feel that God is watching over every single step that I have. And one of the amazing things that Gunter told me about mind control is people who have a one-on-one connection with God. Now, I'm not talking about having a one-on-one connection with your minister or with your religion, but I'm talking about knowing God and just knowing Him so well that He is in your heart, He is filling your entire life. And Gunter said, if people have that one-on-one connection with God, they cannot be programmed.
Well, that's great. That's wonderful. God protects His people, and the Holy Spirit fights against the enemy, and the enemy is bound.
Absolutely. Well, Gary, you've been interviewing me So how about if I start interviewing you? You're the guest. Tell me your story. What happened? How did you end up doing what you're doing?
Well, I started out trying to be a success and thought, well, sure, I'll surely be a millionaire by the time I'm 30. And was all involved in real estate and so forth, but everything kept going bad. And it seemed to me like that even if I tried to make it go bad, I couldn't make it go as bad as it was getting, even if I tried. And so anyway, I come to the point where I had nowhere to turn. And that's when God started speaking to me, and he led me to, I was brought up when I first became a Christian in a fundamental Christian movement that did not believe in speaking in tongues, did not believe in many of the gifts of the Holy Spirit that were being active today. And so I resisted going to some of these things, but my circumstances put me in a Bible study one day where there was prophetic things happening, and I thought, well, I'm not going to believe any of this, but this lady stood up that was a prophetess, and she started telling me things that only I knew and nobody else in the world knew. And so I thought, well, you know, could this be the devil, or is this God? I finally took a tape recorder and went back to this Bible study several times and tape recorded everything, went through the Bible to see if it was lined up with Scripture. Then I waited to see if the things she said happened, and they all happened. And so anyway, God asked me to do some things for him, and it's led me in different countries of the world even. And then in 1980, he spoke to me through a prophetic word, and he said, I am bringing people from all around the world together. And he says, I'm doing this to fulfill the greatest prophecy in the Bible. And then he said, my people don't understand this prophecy. And, you know, the greatest prophecy in the Bible, but my people don't understand it. So when I heard this, I said, Lord, teach me. And so from then on, I'd wake up in the middle of the night, and I'd have something on my mind in the Scripture, and I'd go look at the Bible, and all of a sudden a different understanding had come out. And so I'd write the understanding down, and I'd think, well, if this is true in this case, and then in another situation where the same precept is used, it must mean the same thing. And so, and it did. And so, anyway, I got a totally new understanding of the Scriptures. And then in 1980, he said, I want you to call my people. He says, call my people my international branch of the Lion of Judah. And so then I started studying in the Bible all about the branch.
Gary, you're breaking up. Is your phone going dead or something?
I don't think so. Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can hear you now. But something very bad was happening. We could not hear the last few sentences where you were talking about the international branch of the Lion of Judah.
Right. Well, anyway, I started studying in the Bible all about the branch. And there seemed to be a conflict to me that Jesus said in the New Testament, John 15, he says, I am the vine and you are the branches. Yet the Bible teachers were teaching that in Isaiah 11, where there's this mighty righteous branch, that this wasn't man but was Jesus. And so I come to the conclusion that it speaks of it as a single person in Isaiah 11, but it speaks of the body of Christ or the believers in Christ when we come all together and we let Jesus Christ be the head. Now, if we're a body, we have to be submissive to the head. And so that's what I believe God is doing today. His Spirit is being poured out upon the earth. And a lot of the people in this branch, I mean, they belong to every religion in the world, Muslim, Hindu, all of them, and all the Christian people, but it's like there's a heart language. It's not even what people say really means things. It's like if you have a heart for God, God hears your prayers. And he said, call my people my international branch of the Lion of Judah. And so that's kind of how this all began. And so I wanted to lay that as a kind of a foundation stone of how I got involved with the calling this the International Branch of the Lion of Judah.
Well, boy, do I have a whole bunch of questions for you, and I actually took the time, and I wrote them all down, and they're here in front of me.
Great.
So I need to know, who do you think is the Lion of Judah?
Well, this is going to take a little bit of explaining. Jesus, in the only time that the Lion of Judah is mentioned is in Revelation, the 5th chapter, where the Lion of Judah is worthy to open the seals. Now, I believe this is definitely the person of Jesus Christ in heaven. But Jesus says, "I am the vine, and you are the branches." And if you look at a vine, you can hardly tell where the branch, or you can't tell where the branch ends, and the vine, the difference between the vine and the branch, they all flow together. And when we become a believer in Christ, we become part of His body. And so if we're part of His body, there may be people in a position of being anointed in a special way. And so I don't know Haile Selassie, I don't know what God had revealed to him, but I've met many people from his country that really believed that he was the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. And so I don't know what that really means, but I know that as a member of the body of Jesus Christ, if he's the Lion of the Tribe of Judah, that we are also Lions of the Tribe of Judah under him. And so that's the way I would define it. So I don't know.
Let me just throw out a little bit of information that I know about him.
Okay.
First of all, many people don't know that Haile Selassie is like the Jesus Christ of the Rastafarian movement. And the Rastafarians take their name from Ras, which means Duke, and Tafari, which was Haile Selassie's family name. So Rastafari means Duke Tafari. Now, on July 23rd, 1961, and July 23rd is the High Holy Day of Egypt, that was the day that Sirius, for the first time in the year, rose over the River Nile. And so July 23rd is a day that is devoted to their God. And their God, they had a number of them, but one of them came from Sirius. And so they literally worshipped the star Sirius because that was where many Egyptians felt they originated. Now, on July 23rd, you know, he places this right on the very high holy day of Egypt. And if you look at the map, in olden times, Ethiopia was part of, the Egyptian Empire. Well, he places the day that he did this right on the holiest day in Egypt. And what he did, supposedly, was open the seven seals. And then he wrote in a Bible called HIM what these seven seals mean. But I don't know what's in the Bible. I have not read it, and am not even sure if it really exists. But the other thing he did was he told the Jamaicans that many, many thousands of years ago, maybe, 1,000, 2,000, 3,000 years ago, there were huge wars in Ethiopia. And the Ethiopians were run out of Africa. Certain of the tribe, maybe the tribe of Judah, was run out of Africa. And they came to Jamaica. And Haile Selassie came to Jamaica to tell the Jamaicans this. And now I'm just going to add one other thing. There was a guy named Marcus Garvey, who is genuinely credited with founding the Rastafarians. He was one of the best friends of Malcolm X. best friend and mentor. Malcolm X plays a very major role in Barack Obama's life, and I just have a feeling that all of us are being set up in this Barack Obama administration to have Barack Obama eventually proclaimed as the true Lion of Judah. There are just too many things that I am seeing that are pointing in that direction. And so anyway, I'm going to ask you one more question. Let's get back to what you were talking about. I want to know what the difference is between the Lamb of God and the Lion of Judah.
Well, Jesus came, first of all, the people that in that day expected the king to come, and they expected Jesus to come as a king. Instead, he came as
And can you believe, Gary, I'm going to have to pause you. Just remember the question.
Okay.
And we'll resume on the other side of the break. This is Raylan Allen from RumorMillNews.com, and I am interviewing Gary Larrabee of the International Tribe of the Lion of Judah. And you're listening to Rumor Mill News Radio on the MicroEffect.com radio network. And I promise we will be back.
One step into the light, one step away from night. It's the hardest step you're gonna take. The ship to take you there is waiting at the head of the stairs that lead up through your open mind.
And we are just about to take another step into the light. This is Raylan Allen of Rumor Mill News, and we're talking with Gary Larrabee of the International Branch of the Tribe, or the International Branch of the Lion of Judah. And Gary, I had just asked you, what is the difference between the Lamb of God and the Lion of Judah?
Okay, Raylan, in the Old Testament, God instructed them to build the temple and so forth, and they had all the rituals, and they would sacrifice the blood of a lamb for the forgiveness of sin. Now, we don't know why blood is so important for the forgiveness of sin, but it is. And so they would have to sacrifice a lamb at least once a year for the forgiveness of the sins of the people. Now, Jesus came as the Lamb of God. And so when he died on the cross, he sacrificed his blood for the forgiveness of sin of the whole world. Doesn't matter what you call yourself, but it's a free gift. And it's like if I were to hand you a pencil and you wouldn't take it from me, it wouldn't be your pencil. But the minute you took it, it would be yours. I'd try to give it to you, but if you didn't take it, it wouldn't be yours. That's the way salvation is. It's a free gift that you don't have to do anything. Accept it and really believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins. And so that is what is meant by the Lamb of God. He was sacrificed on the cross. That was his mission when he came to this earth in the first place. And as the Lion of Judah, he's going to come back. And when we pray the Lord's Prayer, we say, "Thy kingdom come upon earth as it is in heaven." The millennial kingdom of God is with Jesus Christ reigning on earth for 1,000 years. And this is the next stage that we're going to be entering into. And I believe that we are a chosen generation to bring this forth. And so the Lion of the tribe of Judah is that he will be the ruler upon the earth, and the people, the believers, will be the rulers of the nations, and there will be kings and priests unto God, those that are really committed to God. So God is going to make us kings and priests upon the earth. Now, this may, I believe that it's going to start here and it's going to spread throughout the whole universe. In other words, I think that the way things are going, that this is not only a mission for this earth, but it's going to be with the new kingdom, the new earth, and the new kingdoms of heaven begin. I think it's going to be something that's going to be a continuous evangelistic thing throughout the universe.
And suddenly the Pope, just a few days ago, spoke about Adam and Eve and all of the extraterrestrials. I mean, how come the Pope and the Vatican astronomer? The Vatican astronomer several months ago said that, yes, there are extraterrestrials. And get this, some of those extraterrestrials never experienced original sin. In other words, they never lost contact with God.
Well, I believe that's true. Now, the Bible says that there are principalities and powers that you know not of.
Exactly.
Now, I don't think all those are evil. I think that many of them are godly. I think there's a mixture.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of them are the angelic part of heaven. I have a very close friend that has been on an abduction thing, but it was a voluntary thing that she went on to some kind of a spaceship, and she said it was very, very spiritual, and she felt that she was right next to God, and she's a very spiritual person. So I believe that there's definitely many different types, and some are of God and some aren't. And so I think it takes a lot of discernment, and I do think the evil spirits and Satan comes as an angel of light. So we have to be very, very careful and to discern what's what. And I think the only way to do that is just in our heart to say, God, you got to help me to understand what I'm doing here and how I'm supposed to react to this. And then go by your intuition, your heart feeling. And the Bible says we're not to rely upon what we see. We're not to rely upon what we hear, but we're supposed to go by the Spirit.
And I couldn't agree more. One of the things that all of us on Rumor Mill are continually reminding our readers of is this is the age where you must learn to develop your discernment, because there's lies everywhere. Turn on the television, it's full of lies. Read the newspaper, it's full of lies. Read magazines, books. Send your kids to public school. They get taught lies. And so in this day and age, discernment is so very important that neither you nor I could possibly talk enough about the ability to know God and know not the voice of God in your head. That's the other thing I've said. In this day and age, our government and governments around the world have the ability to put the voice of God in your head. And now, even worse than that, they've got the ability to put the thoughts of God in your head. So you're not hearing voices, you're just thinking thoughts. And so every single one of us, every single day, you have to get in alignment with the person that, with God. Many people want, you know, believe Jesus Christ is God, and that is God. So if you need to get in alignment with Jesus Christ, you know, I'm going to absolutely issue blasphemy here. But Jesus said we're all brothers and sisters. I mean, we are all the children of God. And I truly believe what he said, that we are all the children of God. You're a son of God. I'm a daughter of God. And if God is my father, I don't want to go through my older brother to get his attention. I want to go straight to Dad. And that's just the way that I operate. And if anybody else wants to operate that way, I think that is perfectly, perfectly legitimate. And if you prefer to believe that Jesus was God incarnate, which I probably believe too, if, you know, if we want to split hairs on it. But it's that one-on-one connection so that you know that whoever it is that you believe is God, or whatever it is that you believe is the infinite creator of the universe, if you've got that one-on-one connection with this being, then you're not going to be misled, and you will be able to use your discernment. But as you said, Satan comes as the angel of light. But now Satan comes as more than just the angel of light. He comes as the microwave beam directed into your brain, and he comes straight from NSA or CIA headquarters, and you suddenly are hearing the voice of God, and you go out and you start creating your own church, your own cult, etc., etc., etc. And so now, more than ever, discernment, 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 and people who have no foundation whatsoever in God and in what the teachings of God. My God, our Bible has survived for thousands of years. The Old Testament, I mean. And if it's been around for thousands of years, my gosh, don't you think that you ought to pick it up and read it every now and then? I guess that's what I believe.
Right. Well, I'd like to make a comment about I'm sure that what you said is absolutely true about, you know, the brain waves and so on and so forth. But I think that here's the resistance and the protection that we have. We have three enemies. We have the blood of Jesus Christ. So we can use the blood of Jesus Christ and as a weapon, and we can bind things in the name of, with the power and the authority of the blood of Jesus Christ. The next weapon we have is the name of Jesus Christ. So we also bind evil spirits and evil things that come into our mind with the power and the authority of the name of Jesus Christ. And we also have the Word of God, the whole Word of God. We can say, all right, I bind this in the name of with all the power and all the authority of the Word of God. So I believe that if a person does that, and does it in faith, that they can resist, and I don't think that they can penetrate your mind. Now, that's just putting my faith in what the Scripture says.
Right.
And what I've described here is that Jesus says, I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven, he said to Peter. And then the next thing he says, I'm going to give you power to bind on earth what is bound in heaven, and what to bind in heaven what is bound on earth. And so this is the power and the authority that God gave when he said he gave Peter the keys to the kingdom, was the power and the authority to bind, rebuke, and cast out things that are not of God.
Yes.
And so those are the three weapons that I would use.
You know, it's very interesting, because I did not come upon this and, to armor yourself in the blood of Jesus until after I had married Gunter. And shortly before I married Gunter, I had an attack on me, and either it was by, let's just say that I was a friend of Senator Claiborne Pell's at the time, and he had asked me to go to work for him, and the job that he wanted me to do was become his assistant to oversee a special project that he funded through his Foreign Relations Committee in the Senate. This special project that he funded, we now know as remote viewing. It was a psychic project. And he didn't like some of the things that were going on in his project, and he wanted somebody that he knew could not be swayed by money or by anything else. And so I was thinking about taking the job. I hadn't told him yet. But suddenly, I'm staying with a girlfriend in Georgetown in Washington, D.C., and literally a vampire came out of the closet and began to suck my blood. And I am absolutely paralyzed, and all of these thoughts are going through my mind, you know, middle-aged California visitor dies suddenly in her sleep, heart attack. You know, that's how my death would have been reported. But I did not know about, you know, armoring myself in the blood of Jesus at the time. But I did know an ancient Hebrew chant, an ancient Hebrew chant for banishing evil. And so, in other words, the Jewish people have something that is similar to what you have described. And it's Kadosh, 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 Adonai, Sabaoth. You have to say it three times.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't speak. My mouth couldn't speak. I couldn't do anything. So I thought it as loudly as I could. And the minute I thought it, it was like I had slapped this vampire across the face. And he pulled back from me, which gave me my voice back. So I could go, Kadosh, 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 Adonai, Sabaoth. And he retreats again. And so I said it louder, and he goes into my closet. And so I was, and disappears. And then immediately my girlfriend came in because she had heard me saying, Kadosh, 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 Adonai, Sabaoth. So she came in to ask me what had happened, and I told her what had happened. The next morning, this is shortly after my first husband died, and his ashes were scattered at Virginia Beach, and I didn't get to go in the ash scattering party. So the next morning, I was on my way to Virginia Beach in my rented red Mustang convertible, and I got to Virginia Beach and put on my two-piece bathing suit, was laying out on the beach, and suddenly I had pains in my abdomen so badly it was like somebody was stabbing me with a knife. And I knew that I was going through a background check because I had to go through a background check before I went to work for Claiborne Pell. And I figured that the guys on the walkway above me with the cameras taking pictures of me were, since they had on trench coats, were part of this background check. Well, anyway, the pain got so bad, and then suddenly I began to bleed. So I thought that my period was beginning. I just barely got back to the hotel. I mean, just literally, I'm leaving drops of blood behind me as I am running. I get into the hotel room, and I am hemorrhaging. I am bleeding so badly that I think I'm going to bleed to death. Okay, now remember, vampire sucks blood. The next day, I am bleeding so badly that I think I'm going to bleed to death. Well, I had been in Washington that time to give Senator Pell a stack full of information proving that a man named Donald Gregg, who was coming up for confirmation as ambassador to Korea, I had a stack of information proving that Donald Gregg was part of the October surprise. When I started hemorrhaging, I didn't want to go to the hospital. I needed to I needed to be sure that I wasn't going to be murdered in an emergency room. And I knew nobody in Virginia Beach except for the fact that my husband had grown up in Virginia Beach and he had dated one of the granddaughters of Edgar Casey, and he was very well known in the community. I called the Edgar Casey Foundation. The woman who answered the phone, thanks to God, knew my husband's family. I mean, she knew my late husband personally. She even had known that he had died because his obituary was published back there. She arranges for me to go to the grandson of Edgar Casey's doctor. And so I went directly to his home. He fixed me up. I got to an airplane, flew back to California, and I didn't start hemorrhaging again until I was in my own hometown with the doctor who had, you know, practically delivered me as a baby, and I knew he wasn't going to kill me. And so the point of this story is, if I had not known the Kadosh, 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 Adonai, Sabaoth, I would probably be dead by now. But if I had known, you know, to armor myself in the blood of God, in the blood of Jesus, I probably would still be alive. But there are people who are not Christians. And you know, there needs to be other ways for them to protect themselves. And this kadosh, 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 it is a vibration where evil cannot live. So anyway, getting back to my list of questions, how did you come to choose the name, the International Branch of the Lion of Judah?
Well, this was given to me prophetically, and I did not choose the name. It was given to me in a way that I first called it. I said Lion Branch International, and then they said no, International Branch of the Lion of Judah, and so that's what it ended up. I'm going to just take 1 second, Ray, and I'll be right with you.
Talk radio program.
Because I have to admit, I'm having a little bit of a problem.
Okay, I'm back now.
Yeah, I'm having a little bit of a problem figuring out what's the difference between the branch and the vine.
Well, I think that God is literally going to manifest his power and authority through his people. And in the Bible, the branch has all kinds of power and authority. You can look at Isaiah 11, verses 1 to 5, and it speaks of a single person. And this is the people that believe in God, that are submissive to him, that are of one mind and one accord. And I think that power and authority is going to be manifested through the people. So it's like we're going to be doing acts of God, not through our own power, but through his power.
What did Jesus say who were members of this branch?
Well, he said in John 15, verses 1 to 16, he said, I'm the vine and you are the branches. And so he knew the Old Testament. He knew all about Isaiah. And in Isaiah 11, it says, there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and he that's the only place in the whole Bible where the seven spirits of the Lord are mentioned. And it's the power of wisdom, the power of counsel, this power of might. It says that this branch is going to slay the wicked with the breath of his lips. He's going to restore the equity of the poor. And so I believe that is our mission, to restore the equity of the poor, and but it has to be done in unity. It has to become, we have to come together. We have to, it's with total submission, it's going to come total power, in my opinion. But it has to be, we can't do it in our own strength, because it can't be done that way. And so with all the divisions of Christianity and all the other religions, it's not going to happen until we get together say, all right, I don't care what you call yourself, you know, but if you believe in God, as I believe in God, you know, and we let him be the head. We have to let God be the head, and we have to be able to hear from him. And if we hear from him, we're all going to be doing something, and we might not really realize what we're doing, but God knows, and it's all figured out where it all works in unity. And so what I do and what somebody else does works together. And it says in Daniel that there's going to be a stone cut out of a mountain without hands. That's going to crush the world system. That's going to crush the new world order. Going to crush all the systems. And this is I believe that it's like a leaderless resistance, except that we're all hearing, we all have a mission, we all do our mission, and the total of all the missions working together gets the job done.
You know, it's so amazing, because this leaderless resistance, this is what the Ron Paul movement was. We
right.
were a leaderless resistance.
Right.
And, that is extraordinary. Well, I know we're coming to the point where we are going to need to take a break, but I need to have, what should I say? I need to almost have stories told for me to visualize things. And so, I'm going to throw out a question to you.
Okay.
Can you describe the personality and the power of this branch you say we are creating? Now, I know we're not going to be able to finish this, before we go to break, but what does it feel like? It's almost like, what does it feel like? What does it look like? What does it taste like? What does it smell like? Do you see what I'm saying? Because I'm not able to grab hold of it yet. And if I can't grab hold of what you're talking about, I think a lot of other people are not going to be able to grasp what you are talking about. So
you're asking a tough question, but I'll try my best to do it.
Okay, and remember, when we go to break, I'll repeat the question, and we can take it up on the other side of the break. So why don't you have a go at it?
Okay, I'll sure do it. Well, right now, do you want me to do it? Or?
Yeah, go right now, because we've got a couple of minutes before we go to break.
Okay, fine. Okay, basically, you know, people have an urge to do something for God, but if they go out and they do something, I think that the power is in waiting upon God to direct one to do whatever his mission is.
Mm-hmm.
And if people go out and do something, they think they're doing something for God, they're doing it, but they're doing it in their own strength. And I don't think that doing it in your own strength. Now, Ezekiel had a vision that kind of describes what I'm doing. Now, Ezekiel, in the first chapter of Ezekiel, saw a living creature. This living creature had the face of a man, the face of a lion, and on the left it had the face of an ox. There was also the face of an eagle, but the eagle was not lined up properly. It was out to the side. This living creature went wherever the spirit led, but the spirit was the spirit of the ox. The ox is self-will, and so this was basically a spiritual being that was trying to do God's work, but he was doing it in the power and the authority of his own will, and he wasn't getting it done. And then the wheel that described there, full of eyes, represents the work that this, in my opinion, represents the work that this living creature is doing, but he's really only doing one third of the work that God wants him to do.
Well, that describes me many years ago.
Right. Well, in the 10th chapter of Ezekiel, we see a different creature. It looks almost the same. This living creature has also four faces. It has the face
now,
of a lion.
Now, if you can hold that thought right there, write yourself a note as to where we are, because we're going to have to take a break right now. I've got to go to work sweeping out this country store to pay for all of this.
Okay, I'll be here.
Okay, you're listening to RumorMillNewsRadio.com on the MicroEffect.com radio network. I'm speaking with Gary Larrabee of the International Branch of the Lion of Judah, and I promise we will be back.